begins now. How confident are we that we can, and by we, I largely mean me, effectively handle the clock so we get to Christian Yelich on
time? We'll
be
fine.
He is a very finite amount of time to spend with
us. Just like people do, we adjust for stars, and we'll do that.
I'll believe that when I see.
Where is he in the pantheon right now? Wisconsin sports stars. Like I want to meet this
players
guy.
Or
active.
Of Brewer. No. Okay.
Only active sports folks in the state of Wisconsin. Where is he on your list of I want to meet him? Jordan Love's number one, I think, on. Well.
No, Giannis is number one, isn't he?
I don't know, Jimmy.
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy.
I'll say this. If I'm asking Max, who's, a perfect pre-qualifier for this, he's going to pick Giannis. And then Jordan Love would be second.
Pre-qualifier?
Yeah.
I think Jordan Love is one because he's the starting quarterback
so
of the Green
too.
Bay Packers.
I think you might be right.
And because he's good.
It sounds crazy to say, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Giannis is too, but he's also been here a decade.
Well, Love's I was going to say, new. Is the issue for Giannis the fact that
Sid
people
and Madison
have already met him?
Are in Milwaukee today, and she gets to pick any of the Wisconsin sports stars to come in and you interview. Who is she picking?
Christian Yelich, obviously.
Okay.
What kind of question is that?
What do you mean, what kind of question is that?
Sid is picking Drew Holiday.
He's not a Wisconsin guy.
I'm aware, and she is acutely aware of that.
Team USA.
I think she would pick Giannis.
Okay.
Yelich, I think he's high up there because he's had the resurgence this year, but I think it's also, like, the thing with Jordan Love is he's still relatively new. Like, Giannis in 2018-19, when the Bucks were getting good, he would have been higher than Aaron Rodgers at the time. When they won the title in 21, like, he was higher than Aaron Rodgers at that point.
Yeah, this is Yelich's eighth season in Milwaukee.
Okay.
It's been around a minute.
And so I agree with you guys on the principle of the newness, but the other two guys we just talked about, Yelich and Giannis, both have won MVP awards.
Yeah.
They have accomplished more than Jordan Love
Here's
has.
Here's the deal. What have you done for me lately? You know this. Come on, man.
Lately? Yelich has 3 home runs in 5 games.
But lately.
He's hit 329.
He's having a great year.
An all-star starter.
Yeah, it's great.
His OPS plus is 163, and I don't know what that means, but that's good.
He's been
fantastic. Oh, snap.
So is Yelich third on the list right now? I want to meet a Wisconsin sports star. I'm going Giannis. That's where I'm going. Well, I don't understand. What are you, like, guffawing me about?
Well, he's going to be in here.
Yeah, I know.
What?
How high is A.J. Dillon on that list?
I'm talking about the overarching thing. I'm not saying Christian Yelich has been great this season. Been great.
He has.
I've met Christian Yelich before, so it's not fair for – that's why I took myself out of the equation. Christian Yelich's a good dude. I like him. If me, I have not met Giannis. I want to meet Giannis. That's who I would pick.
But you've worn CC Sabathia's pants.
Correct.
Can I use the Bob Uecker cheat code in this question?
How so?
Like, I would want to meet Bob Uecker before I would want to meet Jordan Love.
What is the Bob Uecker cheat code?
Because I feel like Bob Uecker, you could say a bunch, like, who in Wisconsin sports is the most loved or the most popular? And Bob Uecker's like a cheat answer to that.
I'm literally asking, like, if you can meet any Wisconsin sports personality right now.
Figure.
Yeah, no, athlete.
Okay, so we're taking Uke out.
Yes,
so Uecker's now out.
Yes.
That's what I meant. Yes. Jesse's picking Love.
Yelich is top 5.
Agree.
So is Dame ahead of the other? Like,
I don't know.
Let's commit to Love, wherever you fall. Yelich, Love, and Giannis. Okay? Those are your top 3. Put them in whatever order you want.
Okay.
Who's 4 then? Is it another Packers player? Like, I'm terrible at this because I'm around those guys all the time. So they are demystified to me. I can't think like a regular fan.
I want Sims at Chipotle. That's what I'm looking for.
You know, he was all gung-ho about coming on the show, and then he went on vacation. He was like, no, I can't do it. Just to make fun of it. I was like, you can make fun of me. Tausch will love it. Yeah, for sure. Oh, no.
As the crow flies right now, I think I probably want to go. Josh Jacobs would be on my list.
X?
I'm an offensive cat, so I'm more interested in
offense. Jaden Reed?
Bryce Terang?
Terang got snubbed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how our five would go. I mean, I feel
Yoel Piops?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
William Contreras? He's a stud.
I would actually put Pat Murphy above everybody on this list.
All right. We already said it has to be athletes, and you're breaking the rule.
I really want to meet
Pat
Murphy.
You've done Euchre and Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I really want to meet Pat Murphy,
I really want to meet Shaka Smart, which I do, by the way. I mean, I met him once a long time ago. So number four is not necessarily Dame, then, is what you're telling me. Because he's the next most accomplished guy that's available in Wisconsin sports, right?
Yeah.
He's like a 9-time All-Star.
I think I would put Dame. I brought this up a minute ago, but you may not have heard. A.J. Dillon is an interesting one for this list.
You have to speak into the microphone.
No, we... Yeah.
You just glanced past it.
I heard it. I just ignored it.
But as far as fan favorites, like... He's out doing appearances everywhere. People love meeting A.J.
Dillon. Doesn't that work
Dillon.
Against him? He's met a bunch of people.
Yeah. I want exclusivity. Yep.
All right. I want us to get to Christian Yelich on time, so I want Tausch to tell us about who he'd like to have a Coors Light with from Wisconsin
sports. Yeah, it's Giannis. Figures. It would be Giannis. Coors Light brewed with the 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill in those mountains. On Coors Light's cold activated bottles and cans, they will be blue. That means chill to perfection. I took a couple of great photos. I got to get to Jesse, a pool party, and then out on Lake Mendota yesterday with the Coors Light and the Capitol behind
shirt.
It. Oh, it was a swim shirt, of course. Coors Light is also, of course, I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, Woe Nelly is next. I do have a question to ponder as we get into Woe Nelly. When Christian Yelich gets here, do I call him Christian or do I call him Yelly Woe Nelly?
Ponder that. Yelly Nelly.
That's what I'm saying. Help me out with that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, Jesse, as a Nelly, what do you think of Yelly? Do I go Yelly or do I go Christian?
I don't think you can go nickname the first time you meet him. I think mid-interview you can drop a Yelly and see how he likes it. But
yeah, I'll be honest. I wasn't going to go Yelly at all. But now I'm thinking about maybe making a bit out of it and just asking him.
How would you like it if at Summerfest the lady comes up to you during the State of the Packers and said, hey.
Was she drunk?
Jaybird, how you doing?
Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's different then. If we're off the air, I still don't like Jaybird. I think he likes Yelly, though. That's part of the other issue here, right? Like, I don't like Jaybird. Let's play Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
All right, I got a few things from the 4th of July weekend that I wanted to run by you guys here before we get to Whoa Yelly.
Great 4th of July weekend, too, huh? The best, isn't it?
With a Thursday 4th of July, it was wonderful. Yeah, it was like Thanksgiving in the summer.
So switch it to the first Thursday.
What's the best policy for splitting costs of things versus saying, I'll get you next time?
Yeah, I mean, how often are you out with the people? If you're out a couple times a month and you get 2 beers and a nacho and you're like, oh, I'll get this one, you get the next one, no big deal. Once you start getting entrees involved, I think you just split it. I don't think you say get it next time.
What about golf?
What about it?
Like, so we had 2 foursomes go out on Saturday morning for a round of golf. And I paid for one of the foursomes, and someone else paid for the other foursome.
Okay.
And I was going to say, I got this. Like, I know you guys will get it next time, but some of the people in the group, I'm not sure they'll ever get it
next time.
Right. So, I didn't want to do that for some people, but then I also didn't want to, like, charge my brother-in-law for golf. And, like, it felt like a weird situation for me.
I think the big thing you always have to do is let people know beforehand. Hey, we got golf. It's $65 a round. Just go up, pay when you get there, check in, and we'll get out and play. Once you cover it, it's kind of on you. So that has to be communicated earlier than just, you don't want to send a Venmo request for $65 4 days later. It's on you.
That's kind of where we're at.
That's exactly my question. In the age of Venmo, shouldn't everybody just pay their own freight?
If you want to grab a beer and if you initiate it, if you go out and golf.
I did that recently. Yep, I did that myself, even though I had root beer and the guy that I met up with had beer. I still picked up the tab. It was my idea to get together.
Very nice of you.
You're welcome for my service. Next.
Whoa, Nelly!
Well, Jesse, what are you going to do? I mean...
I think at this
send a Venmo request.
Some people sent it right away, and I think at this point, like even yesterday, my brother-in-law was asking me for the Coors Lights we went and bought on Saturday. Like how much? I'm like, don't worry about it. Like we're good. Like we got you for next time up north.
Just say don't worry about that. Just when you get a minute, it was $60 for a golf.
Yeah,
that's tacky though.
It's either like you have to split everything, or you just do the next time.
That's insanely stupid. No.
Oh.
Hey, I just booked a flight to Australia. It's eight grand. I'll get that one, but can you hit me with $4 for the Coors Light? Like, come on, Jesse. That's like the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I felt a little bad on, I think it was Saturday. So I said we had a lot of croquet going on over the weekend up north. That's our new favorite game up there. Besides,
it's very golf-like.
Besides throwing Penelope, which I taught a bunch of new people how to play bocce ball and said that the little ball was called Penelope, and they all no one questioned it at all. They just called it Penelope and moved
on.
Got a lot of sheep in this world. A lot of sheep.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like 4-year-olds not keeping score, first sport ever, and 10 being starting the Super Bowl. How competitive are you allowed to be in yard games? Because I felt like. My partner and up north neighbor Joe was missing some bad shots during croquet, and I felt like I was getting a little. He knew I was getting irritated with him, and it was my competitive side coming out. And I didn't feel great about the situation.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Let it rip, and then afterwards, just make sure you're not a jerk. But yeah, you're competing. You either compete or you don't. If you want it just to be funsy onesie, then just be funsy onesie. But if you're going to compete, try to win. Go win.
You were playing croquet?
Yep. Very similar to golf.
You better not miss. Let me tell you something. If you're being a jerk, you better not be missing shots.
I was just.
You better not be not putting it all the way through the wicket.
Thank you for finishing my sentence.
I was on.
Well, if you're on, what's Joe's capabilities? Like, if Joe stinks.
Another good question.
I think Joe's capabilities were better than Joe performed.
Well, then you push Joe, because Joe doesn't want. He doesn't want to be some slappy. Joe wants to compete and win, too, my guess is.
Joe golfed really well in the morning and just didn't bring it for croquet.
So, and you have to get after Joe.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, last one with the golf outing. Eight guys walk into a clubhouse and order 16 hot dogs at 9:30 in the morning. IPT or great for business for the
you
up
guys
north
went
golf
two
course.
Dogs a person?
Yeah.
It's a lot of dogs.
Well, we had the golf, we do this
Did you have a contest?
Yeah, we do this once a year where you and a partner, between the two of you, finish a combination of beers and dogs. So, like, if each of us finish two dogs, that's four. And then, so between the two of us, two beers, three beers would get to nine over the nine holes that we play.
Yeah. By the way, were you
that's
good at this?
Limited.
Were you good at this?
Oh, because I was great at it.
You and your competitive streak for croquet.
Had a great morning of golf. IPT to order 16 dogs at 9:30 in the morning or no?
Why would that be IPT?
Well, it took them a while. Like, they had to deliver them out to the first tee box so we would get going on our tee time.
Is it IPT for you to buy things from a business? It's not like they're made like Reuben rolls that they didn't have. Hey, you know what? I know you don't have these. Can you run down to the store and get them? No, that's IPT.
I'm saying
they sell them. If it's on the menu and they have it, they want to sell it to you because, Jesse, here's how it works, business. When you buy stuff and you sell it for money, that's how they make their business go.
So
you bringing 16 beers and grilling your own dogs in the parking lot is IPT. You buying beers and buying dogs, thank you. They should be saying, Jesse, thank you for coming out here and doing that.
Well,
I
good.
Say, I'm still hung up on the croquet thing. If you're playing pickleball with Tausch and his guys, that's competitive. If you're playing croquet, you being hyper-competitive croquet guy, I'm not sure I'm on board.
I didn't start as like, all right, Joe, we got to go win this thing. Let's go get him. It was very casual to start.
But underneath, like, you were
when there's five teams and suddenly you're in last place and you're like three rungs behind everybody else, it's starting to feel like, you know, we're doing something wrong. And I don't think it was me who was doing anything wrong.
What a teammate. All right. We need to make sure we're ready if Christian Yelich walks through that door. So, this here endeth Woe Nelly. We'll see if I'm saying Woe Yelly next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
All right, the time has come. Joining us now, live in the Gruber Law Offices, one called That's All Studios, to discuss Christian Yelich's Home Plate 2024 charity concert and Omar revoking Tausch's knife that has his name on it.
No.
Well, you didn't come down.
He would never do that to me. He knows how important that knife is.
I was part of the discussion in the hallway, so I think you're due for another visit. All right, the first question I have is, Christian, or am I in a position where I can go with Yelly?
Whatever you want.
No.
You can go with either one.
Okay. All right, Yelly. See, yeah. We're friends already. Let's talk about the event first, because that's the most important thing. How did this begin? I know this is the second one that you're doing, but why is this cause so important to you, and how did you come upon the idea?
Yeah, like you said, it's the second one. Last year was our first one, and it was kind of just a feeling out process and really just seeing how it would go the first year. And, you know, this was my seventh year in Milwaukee and gotten to know some pretty influential people throughout the city. And I feel like I got a pretty good landscape of the city and gotten to know a lot of cool people here and played for a long time here. So it's obviously really cool to be in a position to give back and use your platform for good. And, you know, I've been talking to Omar about it and some other people over the years. And, you know, I was like, let's try and do a charity event and see what happens. And last year was awesome. Everybody had a great time. And it was a good first one. And I'm not trying to build on that this year and looking forward to another good time. A bunch of guys on the team are going to come out. And it's one of our off days. So we're all looking forward to, you know, a couple weeks from now and having a lot of fun.
So Scotty McCreery won American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Nicotine Dolls. You've got Charlie Barron's coming. You've got DJ Shauna who's going to be there. Other than the big name, do you bring a skill to this show? Do you bring a guitar? Do you bring a harmonica? Do you have planned?
I wish I could join him on stage and play guitar or contribute in that aspect. I've messed around with it a little bit, but definitely nobody wants to see me do that. So, you know, I'll step back that night, you know, maybe say a few kind words and hang out and enjoy the show with everybody else and let the professional musicians do their thing. And really just looking forward to having a great night.
So, And just so people understand, they can go to visitmilwaukee.org/Yelich to order tickets. There's also some VIP access opportunities there as well. But the charity event benefits Visit Milwaukee and Team RWB.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help people understand exactly what that is and why that charity is so important?
Yeah, and Brewers Community Foundation as well. But yeah, Team RWB you know, raises money for veterans and their families. And obviously, you know, my family has the veteran connection. I have a lot of really close friends that also served and that are veterans. So it goes beyond my family landscape. So that's why it's something that's really important to me. Obviously, Visit Milwaukee, Brewers Community Foundation, just big parts of the community around here and do a lot of great things. So it's kind of all encompassing and really it's going to be a really fun night, but also, you know, raising some money for some great causes and to give back and all in all, something that we're really, really excited about.
Now, Omar, I can talk to you anytime. It's one of the great things about you. And I want to talk to Christian, but I have to ask why you got involved in this. And you know, Christian said you've been so involved. Well, you're a good guy to know if you're in Milwaukee. So what has it been like for you to be involved in this process, and how much has it been rewarding for you?
I want to go back to the question that you asked Christian. What does he bring to the table, you know, for the event? Well, I think he brings an MVP and multiple All-Stars to the table.
No, that part, I think I knew that he had already brought. I still want to see him with the guitar, though.
Nobody wants to see that.
We want people to come. No, I mean, we've become friends over the years, and it's been just really great to meet such a great person, right? And it's always been, you know, it's funny. I remember him telling me after playing 1 year in Milwaukee, he goes, I love this city. And he said, it's just so much of a better, you know, the fan base is incredible here. And so I think he's always wanted to give back to the city, and I think I have some platforms to help with that. But it's any time that I've ever asked for anything, hey, we've got a charity, we've got kids, we've got families, he's always been in. And so, you know, you asked me to help, and I'm all in.
Is it crazy to think that you've been here that long now? Like, has that time flown by?
Yeah, it's gone by pretty quick, I think. I mean, I've known Omar for probably 10 years. I knew him since I was on the Marlins, just, like, coming into town and going to Carnivore and all that stuff. But we became a lot closer when I started playing out here and got to spend more than, you know, a day or two together and met him in passing. But yeah, I mean, 7 years has kind of flown by. A lot's happened, and sometimes it feels like it's been a long time. Sometimes it feels like it's flown by. You know, I think all the seasons kind of start to run together at a certain point. But, yeah, it's crazy that it really has been a decent amount of time now.
So you said a lot has happened, and I wanted to ask you about that because I mentioned to you as you guys were coming in that you and I did an event for Associated Bank a few years ago, and it was during some of the post-injury struggles that you were dealing with. And it's not my job as a reporter, and I'm sure Todd Rosiak and the guys that cover the team would say this too, to root for you, right? We're supposed to be unbiased. But I am so happy that you're having the success that you are, because the stuff that you went through after your MVP seasons and after the knee injury and everything else, that was a lot of adversity. And for those of us that are parents, you are a great example of what perseverance through adversity is all about. Mm-hmm. And I use you as an example to my 13-year-old Sydney all the time. Like, take me through what it's like to have the success that you've had, go through the challenges you did, deal with the adversity you did? And now what does it feel like to come out on the other side? And are there lessons that you can take from your own experience that you can share with others as you went through it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sports in general, and especially baseball. It's not really smooth sailing. There's a lot of ups and downs, especially, you know, baseball is a game of failure. You're going to fail a lot. And at times the game can look easy, but it's a really challenging game. And I think, you know, whenever you're at the top, or, you know, you're doing well and you're having success, it's easy for people to be on your side and like you, stuff like that. And then when you're struggling, it, you know, people are going to take shots at you, and that's part of it. And I think you learn a lot about people when you struggle. You learn a lot about your friends. You learn a lot about who's close to you and all that stuff. And I learned a lot of lessons through that. And I learned, you know, it was an eye-opening experience for sure, especially when you're going through tough times. When you're going through, like I said, when you're going through good times, everybody's your friend. Everybody loves you, all that stuff. But when you start to struggle and, you know, and for me, it was they weren't seasons that I knew I was capable of having, but you battle stuff, and especially in sports, you know, you got to go out there if you're able to go out there. And that's what I was most proud of. I'd still go out there every day. I'd still show up, still try and help the team win. And, you know, no matter what people are saying about you, no matter what's going on, like, you hear it all. I mean, I heard it all for sure. And, you know, you just keep going and you focus on your friends, your family, what you can control. You keep working hard and keep putting your head down and just trying to be the best version of yourself and go from there. Like, I know that I'll always be compared to those 2 years, whether it's fair or not. You know, that's, people are going to talk about that forever, of like, oh, you're good, but you're not this. You're, you know, to me, it's like, I don't really care about that. I just care about being the best version of me and trying to help our team win and be a part of a winning culture. And we've had a lot of success as a team. We really have. We won a lot of games. We've done a lot of winning here. We haven't been able to do it in the postseason, but baseball postseason is just, it's short series, so anything can happen. You know, the best teams in baseball with $300 million payrolls get bounced in the first round all the time,
right?
Because baseball's weird. You know, someone gets a big two-out hit, a broken bat hit, something, somebody hits the ball off a base and two or three runs scored. Over the course of the season, it's not a big deal. You're like, oh, that's just a tough loss. But in the postseason, it really matters because it's short series and any game can go any different way in baseball. There's a lot of things that are out of your control, and it's just been fun to be a part of a winning team, and that's always been my focus. Is I think every season's its own season. So, like, no matter what you did the year before or anything like that, whether it was good or bad, it has really no bearing on the current season, and you want to just be the best version of yourself, whatever that is. And I was talking to our beat writers the other day about it, of like, you don't really know how the season's going to shape up individual wise or team wise. You just put your head down and you keep going. And even the seasons I won MVP, like, you don't know that how that's going to, it's going to turn out like that in April or May or June. Like, you just,
right.
You just keep playing. And then eventually seasons start to shape up to be special, like as an individual player and a team, you just don't know. So you just keep going. And that's really what I learned, man, was just keep going and keep your head down. Like, the successes aren't, the highs aren't as high as you think, the lows aren't as low as you think. You just keep going, and if you just keep going and you don't quit, then, you know, good things can still happen.
All right, I got one last question, then Tausch can find out about his knife situation. Talking about highs, you guys are playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing well. Craig leaves. You've got a bunch of injuries, and yet you guys are still finding a way. How much fun are you having right now?
Yeah, we just compete really hard. I think that's the real story about our team, is we play really hard every night, whether it goes good or bad for us. I think the guys show up every night. We don't quit. I think we've been in almost every game this year. Somebody said, like, it was like 5 or 6 times, maybe a little bit more, that we haven't had like the tying run at the plate in the 8th or
right.
9th inning all season long, which is crazy. Or the other team hasn't had a save situation when they win, you know. So we've been in all these games. We play really hard. We have a lot of young players. Like you said, there's been a lot of turnover. We've dealt with a ton of injuries. We've been really, really banged up. We've had guys contribute that I'm not necessarily sure that you would have thought would be contributing this year, especially in spring training. And Murph's done a great job. You know, he's been around for the last 8-9 years, so we all know him. He knows us. So the transition from Craig to him wasn't huge, because he knew everybody, and, you know, the day-to-day operations basically run the same. You know, they're both great and they're both great in their own way. You know, the way that they go about it, they're different for sure. But I think they're both really good at what they do for sure. And it's a really fun team to be a part of, especially when you see young players like take strides to get better. Like when you've seen their journey in the big leagues, when they first come in, learn the league, learn the game, and then you see them improve. It's really cool to see. And we rely on that a ton as a team. And hopefully we have a good second half.
Christian, did you feel the tension when Craig Counsell came back in? You were talking about the difference between him and Murphy, but did you guys as players feel that it was maybe a little bit more from a series standpoint when Craig came back into AmFam Field?
Not really. I mean, this is not going to be a popular answer with fans, but I still really respect and like Counts. You know, our relationship's obviously different than, you know, from the fan perspective. And look, the way I've always looked at it with Counts is he contributed a lot to the, you know, one of the most successful eras of Brewer baseball. He's obviously from here. He became a free agent like any player did, and he earned the right to make his decision and go wherever he wanted to. Like, yeah, he went to the rival and all that. And obviously when we're on the field, we want to compete hard, and we're going to do everything we can to beat him, and he's going to do the same. But on a personal level, I really respect Craig, and the atmosphere of, you know, when they came into town was what it was. And I think the atmosphere is always kind of crazy when we play the Cubs, whether it's here in Milwaukee or down in Chicago. Like those games, you can just feel the passion from the fan bases. But when you're in the game, obviously competing, but off the field and from the day to days, you know, still really love Counts and, you know, happy for him.
So the other thing I have seriously, and then I got to ask a hazing question, because I saw that there were, you know, the Starbucks run and what the, you know, down in Chicago and what happens. And Omar and I have a real fun one. I think we could tell that story, can't we, Omar, with when we had a couple bills that came up at Carnivore. We'll make sure we hit on that if Omar gives me the nod.
If you text me the specific story.
Yeah, no, I think we know. This one will make it. But on a serious note, you were talking about the struggles and some of the things that you went through. And was there ever did you ever doubt when you had a couple of the injury things that you could ever regain your form?
I mean, I think there's definitely some long nights in there for sure. I think that's part of the thing that like, people don't see. But no, I mean, I still knew I was kind of capable of playing at a really high level, whatever that may be. You know, like I said earlier, like I know that no matter what, like it's going to be like, oh, you're good, but you're not this. Like, you know, the thing I hear all the time is you're back. Like, I don't know what – I never really left the team. I've been there the whole time, right? So do I have to have an 1,100 OPS on the season and you know, win an MVP to satisfy everyone? I don't know, and it's not something it's been on the forefront of my mind. It's like I just want to be the best version of me this year, and I know I'm still capable of playing at a high level and contributing to a winning team and being, you know, helping some of these young guys learn the league and be the best version of themselves. And look, to be successful in baseball, it's a unique sport, and you need to, you know, we have long days. We're at the field at 1 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game, and you're pouring everything you have in yourself just for into those 6 hours leading up to the game, just to have a chance to contribute and do well, you know. And then you come back the next day and you do the same thing and you do it over and over and over and over again. And that's really your focus, is like, how can I be the best version of me today? How can I help us win today? And you try to stack those days on top of each other and just make adjustments as your career goes on and find ways to be successful. And if you want to play for a long time, that's what you have to do. And I still think I'm capable of playing at a high level for a few more years.
All right, I'm not going to hit Omar because I know we're on a little time crunch about the hazing. But my son,
good,
13-year-old baseball player, wanted to ask you, what's the coolest thing about being a Major League Baseball player?
I think it's just being a Major League Baseball player, right? And that's a simple answer, but there's a lot that comes with it, and it's something that's really hard to do. You know, I think it's nice to step aside sometimes and look around and realize like, wow, I'm in the major leagues and this is the big leagues. And what comes along with that though is like you have to learn how to deal with, if you want to play baseball especially, you have to learn how to deal with failure. You're going to fail a lot in this game. There's no getting around it. the best players in the world fail all the time, and you have to learn how to deal with failure and look at things in the big picture. And you don't get nothing in baseball happens fast, right? Like the season doesn't happen fast, the game doesn't happen fast. You can't have a good year in 2 months. You can't have a bad year in 2 months. Like baseball is really the big picture and the long haul. And that's why I think you just have to stay steady throughout the year, throughout your career, however old you are, whatever level you're playing baseball at, is you just have to play. You just have to keep going out there. You just have to keep showing up. You have to keep trying to be the best version of you. And that gives you the best chance for success in this game. And it takes a long time to learn that. That's something that I wish I knew when I was younger, because when you're a young player, you want that instant gratification. You want that success. Everybody wants to get off to a good start in the season or their career, but really in the reality, it's like you're in it for the long haul. So if I had any advice to any young baseball player, that would be it.
All right, Yelly, that's a good lesson for Tausch, that you shouldn't write a team off when they lose three games to the A's when they're in town in June.
That was a tough series, though. We can agree. Yeah. That was a tough series last year.
Yeah, it's baseball, though. I mean, it's going to happen. You're going to have some really bad moments. Yeah. And you know that in spring training. You know, like, there's going to be some times when it's really ugly. And there's going to be some times when it's really, you're on the highs and everyone's like, you're going to win the World Series. And then there's other times where, like, you're the worst team that I've ever seen and you guys are going to pick first in the draft. So, you know,
I've never done that. No.
There are some people on this panel that might have been saying that, not the one that's sitting in this room. All right. There's going to be a great day, though, on July 25th at the Pabst Theater. And again, I want to make sure everybody gets the information, because this is a really cool thing that you're doing. And look, it's been great listening to your mentality. I hope there's a lot of people that are going to listen to this, because the way you described how you went through the process is so valuable for Tausch's kids, my kids, and anybody who gets to listen to this. It's even more valuable to participate in Christian Yelich's Home Plate Charity Concert. It is the second annual. It is on July 25th. It's at the Pabst Theater. Again, American Idol winner Scotty McCreery, not with backup guitar from Christian Yelich, although maybe for the third annual one
maybe.
We can get that
maybe
to happen.
Maybe somewhere down the road.
Nicotine Dolls, Charlie Behrens, DJ Shauna. Again, the website to get tickets or to have a chance at some sponsorship opportunities and the VIP access opportunities at the St. Kate, the Arts Hotel. Visit Milwaukee.org/Yelich. That's visit Milwaukee.org/Yelich. Omar, this is the best interview I've ever done with you. I thought you really crushed it.
Omar did phenomenal.
Wasn't he great?
Just Omar happened to be a fly on the wall.
He brought the good vibes.
Thank you guys. I appreciate
it. Orchestrated the whole thing.
I do have to say one last thing. You know, we were having dinner the other day, and I just realized that, like, you came here 7 years ago. How many years have we made the playoffs since you got here?
Well, hopefully this year would be six, but we're five for six. And
5 for 6. I mean, there's a correlation coming to our city. That's pretty crazy.
There's no doubt. And again, we're really happy for you didn't go anywhere, but we're happy to see you playing at the level that you know you can play at. We're excited for that. We appreciate your time hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. It's good hanging for a bit. And all thanks to Omar over here.
Believe me, I'm wearing
the man.
Omar was a star.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
What's up, Madison? It's head coach Kelly Sheffield.
Wisconsin proved they were the number one team in the country tonight.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Wisconsin Badger Volleyball, 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Late. But Tausch, I just got to tell you, that's the first time I've been with Christian Yelich in person, and he is an impressive dude. I really enjoyed that. I was wondering what your impression was, other than the fact that we're questioning the validity of your current stakes.
I don't know. I think Omar, he could revoke it, but what's not revoked, I just thought his mentality in the approach, because I've heard, we have said on coaching baseball now for 5 or 6 years, it's a game of failure. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to live. And how Christian kind of approached and said that, and could not have come away more impressed. And the fact that you threw all those digs at me about the Oakland A's series and players, the great ones, they don't care. They just keep putting it down and work. And that's what Christian has done, and he deserves all the accolades that he's gotten for this season, because I don't know if many of us thought that was going to be the case the last two seasons, and he has completely, completely redeemed himself, and he's back to playing at that MVP level.
It's great to see. All right, that's it for us today. We will do it again tomorrow. I think we'll all be back in our normal spots, which will certainly be good news for me. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.